you think of a better presence than the Prince of Peace ruling our hearts? We continue this study on the life of Daniel, and today we're going to look again at what we all face, but also what Daniel faced, is that life can get filled with problems. And problems are very difficult sometimes to entrust to God, because they come with a big face. They come with a lot of determination to discourage us. But the greatest thing that we have, or the greatest fact of faith, is that we can always invite the presence of God to come and lead us, rather than us being led by our problems. You know, some people look at problems managed by the wisdom of God as just not really paying full attention to what you're going through. Some people look at how Christians deal with the problems that they face in their lives, and they say, get real. You know, don't give me this pie in the sky. That's an old saying. Don't give me platitudes. I'm going through real problems. Because peace is not a denial of our problems. We don't focus our minds in such a way that we cause problems just to not be in the equation. But peace is entrusting God with the problems that we face. And in our lives, we can listen to the naysayers that just tell us, deal with it. That's your reality. Your problems aren't going to go away. But the goal that God has for us is that we manage our problems with the wisdom and counsel of God. Isn't that a wonderful way to live our lives, by the wisdom and counsel of God? Because problems and struggles are coming, just like Daniel. Again, placed in a city of sin, captured, put in exile, in a place where he did not want to be, but he managed his life with great excellence, and he was able to grow through the trial. This morning, may the wisdom and counsel of God be ours. And where we find the wisdom and counsel of God is always going to be in his presence. And one of the greatest ways that we encounter the presence of God is when we let his word speak to our lives. Now, I promise you this, the enemy knows that when we walk in the counsel and wisdom of God, he hates that with all that is within him. So what is a fast way for him to stop us from being wise and under the presence of the counsel of God? His goal will always be to separate us from the Word of God. Now, I've said this multiple times. If there is a disconnect in our day and in our lives from the Word of God, then we are building a path leading in the wrong direction, and we become more and more vulnerable if we build a consistency in our life that does not have the voice of God's word coming to our hearts and to our minds. And there's so many ways that God's word can touch our day. We pick up the Bible, read a few verses. We look on our smartphones with all these apps that bring Bible verses to us. We have audio that is endless on our smartphones of every book in the Bible. And another thing that amazes me, if we want to dig deeper in detail, there's endless free resources of study. But how can the counsel of God be found if the words of God aren't visiting our lives? And we, as born-again believers that believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives have even more hope. And I say it this way. We know when the words come, it's not up to our intellect to process them. But we have the counselor that lives within that reveals the word to our ability to understand. Isn't that amazing? That is where we're at. So in this day of trouble, in this time of a depletion of faith in our nation, may we be found in the presence of God by letting his word have his will in our hearts. So here, steps of the counsel of God we're going to look at when we face anxiety. When anxiety comes and peace seems to be at a distance, we must make a decision at that point in time who is going to rule our heart and our countenance. Is it going to be the anxiety, the problems, or is it going to be the peace? Because God has steps that involve our actions. God will not force, this may sound funny, but God will not force his peace upon us. He will make it an opportunity, but we must let peace rule. The first step of when anxiety comes is we are to choose prayer. And we talked about that last week. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 gives us the steps. Do not be anxious about what? Anything. So here, God is saying, don't let anxiety rule. So he doesn't just stop there, but he says, but in everything by prayer. So how does that live out? If I feel anxious, then I want that energy to live out in me. Meaning, I don't want it, but it's such a strong energy that it finds its will and it begins to lead my thoughts and my heart. But then God says, when that comes, you're already in a condition of praying because you're praying about what? Everything. That to me, that's amazing. That is amazing. Everything. So how does that look? And we've talked about what prayer truly is, the heart of prayer, the foundation of prayer. Prayer is worship and devotion unto God lived out. See, the actions of faith are real. The actions of faith are being willing to pray in everything. That's what Christ's followers do. No matter what comes through our day, we are attuned to the presence of God, and we talk to God about it. It's not strange. It's not just a little segmented time. That segmented time is intensified when we pray about everything, meaning that my mind is continually aware that the presence of God is in me and with me. So it's easy to talk to someone that you know is there, right? Isn't it? Unless you're just super quiet. And even people that are super quiet got a lot of thoughts going on, right? At least that's what I believe. Because you say, you're not quiet, Pastor. That's one thing about age. I've noticed I wear people out when I'm talking, at, you know, not just during preaching, but when I'm out and about, I'll see that look in their eyes. That's enough. I said, okay. Step one is encompassed in this. Do not be anxious. It doesn't stop there. But in everything by prayer. So you see how they team together? When anxiety comes, do not be anxious. You know, I don't know if you ever had anybody say this to you. Just suck it up. You know, deal with it. You know, and he's like, I'm going to deal with something. God doesn't treat us like that. Do not be anxious about anything, actions. but in everything by prayer. Now, step two. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. And we need to finish this verse. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He's not telling you don't talk about it. He's telling you who to talk about it to. And then here, step two is this. When anxiety comes, let peace rule. How do we do that? We choose supplication. Now, what is supplication? It's letting your personal needs be made known to God. It's the stuff that hits home. It's what you need to press through this life. God didn't put us here and says, just figure it out, make it manifest all by yourself. No. God is looking for our needs to be presented to him. And some people take it this way. They look at supplication always about the material. But it's not, is it? Supplication is telling God what's going on in my mind, in my heart, and the things that I need to be able to get through. And that's good. God is asking you to tell him what you need to press through. Supplication, let your personal needs be known to God. God, make your needs known. This is what he's saying to me. How many people you know like that? Make your needs known to me. That's the heart of God. And he's endless in what he can provide. Your supplication, when it's void, you're telling God, I got it, I'll handle it, don't worry about it. That's not the relationship that God wants. Your supplication proclaims your trust in Jehovah God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. In fact, supplications are an act of worship to God. Because you're telling him that he is so amazing, so mighty, that you can entrust him with that which you need. And the question would be this. Right now, what is it that's weighing you down the most? What is it that has your attention the most? And why would anxiety keep bringing that to your attention and beating you further and further down with it? When we can give that need unto God and believe that he has reprieve and has an answer and has the ability to lift that burden. There's a lot of stuff going on today, isn't there? There's a lot of hopelessness going on in our society. There needs to be a lot of supplication to God. Your supplication, does it bug God? Does your supplication wear God out? No, your supplication delights God. And it's even written in his name, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. That's what that name means. So step one, pray. Don't be anxious. What does that mean? When anxiety comes, tell him. Talk to him about it. We got a choice. Entertain it, try to manage it, or tell God, God, this thing is heavy on me. Please help me. That's when supplication begins to come in. And then step three, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. When anxiety comes, is the problem going to rule or is peace going to rule? The establishment of peace is not by your ability. It's not by your strength. The establishment of peace is the obvious reality of the Prince of Peace leading our lives. His rule will move us forward. His rule is a rule of peace. You know, this is what I find amazing. God in Christ is seen as a lamb and, or Jesus is seen as a lamb and as a lion. And we know the first time he came upon this earth, he came as a sacrificial lamb and died for our sins so that our sins would not be held against us. But he made a way that our sins would be forgiven and we could be born again and his spirit would live in us and then we would have all eternity to be with God. And we love that image of Jesus, the lamb. But you know he's also a lion, right? And that lion, the second time he comes, he's going to come upon this earth with judgment that is like has never been seen before. And prior to his coming, judgment will be seen in echoes. We'll see it. And is God now visiting this nation with his judgment? Is he? If he is, even in the judgment, the followers of Christ will press through with peace, ruling more so than any other feeling within peace, even in the face of judgment. As believers, we see further down the road than non-believers or folks that lack faith. The understanding of what goes on is revealed to us as believers, so we can see there's light at the end of the tunnel. In fact, that light is amazing. Now, I'm just going to touch on this real quick. Do you know Jesus, when he comes back to this earth, do you know he's setting up his kingdom upon this earth for a 1,000-year reign? So there's a day coming that Jesus is coming upon this earth and his rule will be upon this earth for 1,000 years. You believe that? It's in the Word. So when he comes and the new Jerusalem comes, we as believers in Christ are going to understand what it means not only spiritually to live under the fullness of his rule, but we're going to have the physical reality of seeing this earth established by the rule of Jesus Christ being on his throne. Y'all don't sound excited about that. Do you know how soon that could happen? So when you look at the craziness of the rule of man on this earth, hold on. The righteous ruler is coming, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we will serve as priests and kings with Jesus. It's so much more than the images that we look at of being on a cloud playing a harp somewhere. This is 1,000 years, a millennium, of the reign of Christ upon this earth. And then the final judgment will come. I'm ready. You ready? So when anxiety comes, let peace rule. So things are bad, Pastor. Things are really bad on this earth. People don't even know what truth is anymore. They just make it up. We've been walking through Daniel in our daily devotion as a church. And I pray that you get involved in that if you're not involved in that. 15 minutes. A blessing. Daniel had a dream. And God showed him, or let me put it this way, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And Daniel interpreted that dream. And I believe it was four kingdoms that were shown as the end approached. And I'm just going to touch on this real quick. And that last kingdom was clay and iron mixed together. And you know what that signifies? A kingdom that is divided. And we know this. History proves those other kingdoms have come. So now we're at the feet. And have you ever lived in a time of such division as which we live in right now? But we don't have to lose peace over the division. But division is a demonic spirit that wars to seed its foundation or seed its camp within our hearts. So when it comes and it begins to echo its factions and divisions, we know God didn't call his body to be divided, did he? Called us to be what? One. And when bodies begin to divide and factions begin to form, that is not of Christ. And those that are going to serve as priests and kings with Jesus are going to be the followers, those that have allowed peace to rule them. So here's this image again. In this dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw this statue and the feet were iron and clay. Some people signify that as remnants of the old Roman Empire that live in society today, but seated in division. And so here comes this stone, and it comes forward at the statue, and it hits the feet of that statue. And what happens to the feet? They crumble. And that whole statue falls. And then in that image, that stone turns into a mountain and it covers the whole world, the whole earth. And you know who that stone is? It's Jesus. And it signifies the rule of Jesus is coming upon this earth, and we get to be part of it. So that division that we feel right now, don't worry. God told us the division would be great. But the one that would bring unity and peace, the stone, is coming. As he comes forth out of those clouds, roaring like a lion, he will bring judgment upon this earth, and in that stone will establish his authority all over this world. We got so much to look forward to. Got so much to be thankful about. Step one, again, when anxiety comes, pray. Don't be anxious, pray. Step two, make your supplications known to God. Tell God about it. Is it internalized? Is it just staying inside? Is it causing things to just fall apart physically and mentally for you? Supplication. Tell God about it. And then here's the next step. Choose thanksgiving. Let the peace, Colossians 3, verse 15, tells us a story. What's that word there? Let. What does that mean? You have some action that you have to take. God will not force his peace upon you. God will not force his peace upon you. But he will provide his peace. And let the peace of Christ, that's another important word, rule in your hearts. Peace, again, is a motivating power, and it is an authoritative power that is signified when the presence of God is in our lives. So let me make that clear. The evidence of Christ's rule in us is not confusion. The evidence of Christ's rule in us is not panic. The evidence of Christ's rule in us is peace. And God says we have a part in allowing that authority to be established. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And then it goes further. To which indeed you were called. Peace is your calling. Not anxiety. That's not God's design for you. Peace is God's calling upon your life. When you think back over your thoughts and your words, do they signify more about the problems, or do they speak of the peace that is evident in your heart? And I'm not trying to be unfair, because we all have problems. We all have anxiety at times. We all have different levels of how our bodies are designed to manage anxiety. That's only fair. But to which indeed you were called. To what? To the rule of peace. And then here is something that the church must embrace with all of their hearts. Look further. To which indeed you were called in one body. So what does that mean? It means that the church should be a place of unified peace in Christ. In fact, oneness of peace. When man searching for God looks for true disciples of Christ, true places of honor of Jesus, one of the hallmarks is going to be what? Peace. But it's going to be a letting of peace as well. What does that really mean? Struggle. But you're going to see the authority is, I'm going to let the peace of the Prince of Peace rule. See, pastor, churches are always seen as a very divided place. Churches are so divided that they have probably endless denominations. But the design of Christ is even in our uniquenesses and our different personalities that we have, that peace is the hallmark of that body. You know, that's why I would much rather have two and have peace than 50,000. Chaos. Because right now, as much as we let the rule of peace have its will in our lives, it is managed by the counsel of God. Anxiety, division, hatred is managed by the will of the flesh and the words of the world. For the one this morning that's going into a service and all they hear is how hate is established and division is established, the one who brings that forward will stand before God and be held accountable for sowing discord. God does not take lightly upon those that bring forth words that seed division in the hearts of his children. God does not take lightly those that perpetuate things of disorder and dishonor to God. I don't take lightly teaching the word of God, because I have flesh and I mess up. But in that, may we always seek the correction that God seeks to give to our lives. And I'm just going to say this again. You say, you've been doing a lot of that today, Pastor. What we're doing right now, coming into this house to worship, coming and setting aside time to come through the stream, you know why we do this? We do this because God has ordered us to gather and not forsake the gathering. That's a command from God. And one of the things that God has commanded of me as a pastor is I'm supposed to hear from God and give instruction. But you know what? There's a whole lot of people today that don't even put that in the equation anymore. See, God has called me to be a priest of this house. And I believe God says unique things to my heart so I can proclaim them to this body where you can pray and take them before God and see what he's saying. So why do we come? One of the reasons we come is to be taught and instructed by the Word of God. You vacate that, what's happening in your life? Oh, I read my Bible by myself. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to come through a stream. I get revelation from me and God. Well, God has a pastor and has a counsel for you if you're willing to humble yourselves to receive that. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit right now. I'd quit. I would. But I know God has ordered that design. And so when you struggle, wherever you go to church, when you struggle listening to a sermon or going to a Bible study because you just maybe don't have time or you've heard it, you've been there, guard your heart because God has something through his Holy Spirit that he wants to say through his teachers. And then here's the other thing. Be careful if you want to be a teacher. Because when you stand before God, God's going to hold you at a higher standard. Why? Because you're saying things, what? In the name of God. In what capacity? In the setting that he has designed to be instruction and encouragement to others. So let me get back to step three. Choose thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the proclamation of God's peace within. I look at it this way. How do I know peace is alive in my heart? How do I know that peace is alive in the hearts of others? One way of knowing is thanksgiving that is being lifted up to God. I like to put it this way. Thanksgiving is a song of God's peace within. So think back over this week and how thankful, how many words of thanksgiving have been lifted up to God. That's a sign of what's ruling our hearts. If it's always about the problem, if it is not about the thanksgiving, then it's letting us know there's some authority in control of us that is not what God has designed. Thanksgiving, thankfulness is a power of the presence of God within us. And now, let's look at Philippians chapter 4, 6 again. Now, step four. Do not be anxious about anything. But he doesn't stop there, does he? But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Amen. When anxiety comes, the fourth step is this. To let peace rule, we must acknowledge and know without a shadow of a doubt that God is with us. Know that God is with you. The goal of the enemy is to isolate, to put you in this place of despair that all you hear is the echo of the sadness of your heart. God is with you in the struggle, in the good. In the bad, God has chosen to be with you. No matter where you go, what you deal with, what your thoughts bring, God is with you. Never surrender the knowledge that God is what? With you. And the peace, the fruit, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look at that again. These steps lead to this reality, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Don't try to figure out his peace. Just know and accept that he is there. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. Oh, thank you, Lord. Your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pray. Don't be anxious. Make your supplications known to God. With thanksgiving, evidence of peace, liberty within. Know that you're not alone. Anxiety is this solo killer. It loves to put you in a corner where you feel there's no one else to defend. There's no way out, and it just pounds and pounds and pounds. What did I say earlier? Don't mess with the child of God. Don't get in the path of God's, don't mess with God's child. He knows the words of the enemy that have been spoken to your heart. He knows those not knowing they were, but were negative forces of discouragement in your life. That's probably one of the things that's so important is, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because God will, Satan will even use the people of God to bring discouragement upon the hearts of God's people. I've been guilty of that. So be mindful. Be mindful. And that's when you feel isolated and all alone that you remember, God's with me. God's got this. And God doesn't like it when his children are what? Mess with. He doesn't play. God doesn't play with that. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because really, isn't that where anxiety seeks to live? In the heart and within the mind. Once it has the mind occupied long enough, it melts or hardens the heart for it to dwell within. That's why God is telling us anxiety is going to come, but this is what I want you to do. But if we dwell and we let anxiety have its place, it seeks to go deeper and deeper in us. And then once it lives in there long enough, it begins to make residence of us. And then our words begin to pronounce its rule in our lives. And it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. Jesus has told you, George, that he is your guard. Not the events in your life. Not a good day, bad day. He says, I am your guard. Jesus is the guard of your heart and your mind. Jesus is with you, actively guarding your what? Your heart and your mind. You are not alone. And then lastly today, are problems going to lead? Or is the presence of God going to lead? Because we have plenty of problems we're dealing with today. So who's going to lead us? Presence of God stands ready to lead us. See, Daniel did not let his problems separate him from the presence of God in his life. Just think, all Daniel was wanting to do was to honor God. That was his heart. I will faithfully be devoted to God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be in his presence. I'm going to honor him with all that is within me. The rule comes out anybody that prays will be thrown into the lion's den. Well, what did Daniel do? I'm going to continue to pray. Thrown into what? The lion's den. Isn't that nice? You're doing what God's asked you to do, and somebody's going to throw you what? In a lion's den. A hungry, bunch of hungry lions too. God, that's a problem. That's a problem. Just imagine that. I'm going to continue to honor God. Church, you can't have that statement associated with your church because you'll be what? Canceled. You'll be shamed. Well, I don't want to be shamed or canceled. I want to still be able to go on YouTube with our streaming. Maybe just for this time. No. I find it interesting that there was a time limit on the king's order. Daniel could say, I'm just going to take a little reprieve. I'm going to go up under my bed and pray where nobody sees me. No, Daniel says, no, this is how I worship God. In the lion's den. You there? All I'm trying to do is honor God, but what? I'm in the lion's den. So what you going to do then? Be anxious? Change your standards? In fact, just change who God is and then serve your idol. No, Daniel was like this. I'm in the presence of God no matter where I go. I'm in the presence of God no matter where I go. I'm in the lion's den, but guess what? I'm in the presence of God. Daniel could have been snack. He could have been the meal, but God sustained him, didn't he? He sustained him, and in doing that, look at what happened to the king's heart. The king was so delighted that Daniel was preserved. And the king gave honor to Jesus. See, people are watching right now to see how we're going to deal with these problems. And maybe these problems have come so that lost hearts and hearts that are struggling with faith and consistency in God will be strengthened because you stood. Lord, Lord, Lord. These are fun days to live in. But God has chosen you to live in them. Be like Daniel. Because Chas, the lions are hungry, man. But God is able. God is able. Daniel, again, did not let his problems separate him from the presence of God, even if it meant going within the den of the hungry lions. I'd like us, if we could, to bow in prayer this morning. If you're able to stand to your feet, let peace rule. Is that in your heart today? When you step out of this place, when you go about the rest of your day, the rest of this week, the rest of the days that God has allotted for each of us, who will rule? Will it be the peace of God? Will it be the peace of God? So, Lord Jesus, we understand your counsel and we understand your instruction. Is it in your faith, church, to honor the counsel of God? Say it to him in your own way. Is it in your heart to honor the instructions of the Lord? Just tell him. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, honor what your word has called me to. Help me, Lord, break patterns that I've trusted in, habits that I've trusted in. And your instruction is pray, Do not be anxious. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask now that you help us when anxiety comes. It's coming, Lord. We understand that. We understand that. We understand that each of us have different thresholds of dealing with it. Design, Lord. We deal with the tent that we're in. But you are able to help us given each of our unique situations. So when we meet the struggle, pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray. Prayer. Prayer, Lord Jesus, is established in all that we do in the name of Jesus. Teach us how that lives out, Lord. Supplication, Jesus, we need you. Father, that item that's broken in the home, we can tell you about it. Lord Jesus, that lack of separation from anxiety, we can tell you about it, Lord. We need you. Lord Jesus, that relationship that is broken, that keeps visiting in the mind and heart, we tell you, give us reprieve, Lord Jesus. Give us understanding of how to deal with that. And then, sweet, sweet Lord, we give you thanksgiving. We give you thanksgiving, Lord Jesus, for the life that is in us right now. We thank you that you've placed us here for such a time as this, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are here. You are with us. The song of peace rain out through the hearts of your people in the name of Jesus right now. Lord Jesus, those that hear my voice right now, I ask the song of peace rain out, Lord Jesus, which is filled with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Though you felt you were going to lose your mind is kept. Though you thought the edge was yours to fall off of, God has held you. When you look at the foundation that you stand upon, the eyes of the flesh want to tell you it's not there. But by the grace and mercy of God, He has revealed that your feet are planted upon Him, the living stone. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that your kingdom's coming. You even tell us in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's coming. It's coming. It lives first in our heart, but it's coming upon this earth. And guess what, Lord? We thank you for that. Oh, what our eyes will see. Oh, Lord Jesus, what our eyes will one day see in the name of Jesus. And for the doubting heart today, God is with you. To the heart that is worn out by the trials of this earth, God is with you. To the liar that has come to say God doesn't even know your name. God has forgotten you. Look at what you did. God has turned his back on you. Liar, be shut up in the name of Jesus. For you are his child. It is his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of your sin. And you are, let's say it together, forgiven. Forgiven. You are, let's say it together, forgiven. Yes, Lord Jesus. So the foundation that he has placed you upon is not temporary, but it is eternal. Know that God is with you. So we say the greatest guard of all that has ever been, the greatest guard of all the universe, who is God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. If this is your heart today, call him in to guard your mind. So come, station and guard my mind, Lord Jesus. If that's in your heart, ask Him. Supplication, ask Him. And guard my heart, precious Lord Jesus. And nothing's going to get through your defense, your guard. We love you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray.